Bible says, John chapter 5, verses 24 through the verse 30. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. Who think that's a big deal today? Amen. Eternal life and missing out on condemnation. That's a good deal. Amen? He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, the time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Lord, we come to you this morning as sinners, Lord, that come seeking the light, the truth, and deliverance from condemnation, crossing over from death into life, Lord. I thank you that many of us in this room have heard your word, have crossed over from death to life and walk in the light. Some of us limping, some of us struggling to move forward in the light, but in the light nonetheless. And some of us, Lord, in danger of slipping back into darkness, and some of us ready today to step out of the darkness and into light. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that your spirit guide us, Lord, as we pray for your healing for Beatrice. Lord, I pray for a healing, Lord, and deliverance, Lord, of those captives that have come chained this morning, that you would indeed set us free, that we can find and cross over into eternal life. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
It's a good day to be alive. Amen. How many people had a struggle this week? I had a struggle last night. I struggled to serve the Lord, to bless you all. How many of you got a text from me last night? How many of you got several texts from me last night? You see, I started the night with this fabulous new phone and fabulous new opportunity, and I started going through my phone, you know, the contacts thing, and I started grouping everybody in the church, in the board, and on the church, and youth, and in the church, and then I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I got this newfound capacity. I am going to send everybody a little blessing that's in the church. I got their phone number. I'm going to just do this thing and start off with blessing. I really meant to say blessings, but it's a blessing, right? And then so I start talking about, hey, you know, talking about the man at the pool, and we step into this fullness, and it said send. And my phone said, this thing's really getting ready to do something here. You want to do that? I said, yeah. And it started going, bam, 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 bam. And it's the first time I've done that. You know, I'm going, okay. 5 minutes later, it's still going, bam, 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 bam. I'm going, oh, man, I better stop this, you know. And so I turn it off, and I turn it back on, and I go, bam, 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 bam. 5 more minutes. It's doing it, man. And I'm going, okay, stop, 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 stop. Delete this app. But I still wanted to do it. So I'm looking, okay, I got a new group text. Try this app. Blow this one up. And it starts doing weird stuff. And then I delete it, and I go through 6 different apps. And the last one, it says, okay, I'm going to do this thing. And I'm like, okay, go ahead. And it starts going, sending all this stuff to everybody, not just the church, everybody on my phone. And I start thinking, I have no clue what I'm sending out. And my mother-in-law calls me. I go, yes, Pat. She goes, did you just send me something? I said, yes. I have no clue what it is, but it's something in there. She goes, I just wanted to make, I'm trying to do good, right? I'm trying to do good. And it seems like the more I'm doing, the worse it gets, man. It's just like, the challenge of change. We are in this series called The Challenge of Change, going through the Gospel of John. Jesus is bringing change. We have gone through several pictures of that change. And John opens the gospel with light. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him, yet to all received him, to those who believed in his name. I hope that you come in this morning having believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, having surrendered your life to him. I sat with Elijah, and I sat with Zona. What's your other son's name there, rookie? Annan, yes. And saying, okay, because they both want to be baptized, but Elijah's the one. He's only like, what is he, six? Seven. I said, so why do you want to be baptized? Because I want to be a witness. I want to take that next step. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have believed in his name, take a step forward, be a witness. Amen. Those who have believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Opening chapter of the Gospel of John. Skipping ahead to the third chapter, John chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. This is the verdict. The verdict is real deal, amen? I don't know if you've been to court. You get to the verdict, that's real deal. This is the verdict. It has been decided. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead. I hope that's not you this morning. Men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what has been done through God. Moving from darkness to light is change. Do you want to make a move? Do you want to do good? But are you finding yourself further and further away from good? Jesus brings light. It is like a new light coming into the world. Jesus came to expose darkness. Our first picture was John the Baptist. So John the Baptist, you know, he's like, hey, take it and go, Jesus. He must become greater. I must become less. There is this surrender that is in John the Baptist and a promoting of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. He gets to Nicodemus, who's a trained teacher, and Jesus begins to shine the light, and Nicodemus gets into an argument with him. Last week, we took a look at the woman at the well, a hated Samaritan. And as the light begins to come, she begins to want more and more and more. She runs into town, and the whole town comes running because there is an opportunity to move from darkness into light. Amen? Amen. There are those that make the movement, and there are those that face a challenge, the challenge of change. How about you this morning? Do you want to do good? Do you want to step into the light? Have you been walking in the light, and is it becoming a challenge? Because there are those who would turn around. There are those who would slide back. Come to chapter 5. Jesus is back in Jerusalem, and he is shining the light. Title of today's message is A Problem at the Pool. Amen? Amen? All right. Darkness on display. Just trying to get ahead. Sometime later, this is back at verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which means house of mercy. A pool called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered porches, colonnades, patios. There's coverings. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years, and when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" My question for you this morning is, do you want to get well? Do you want to be well? Do you want to live well? Do you want to be transformed by the light and the truth of God? He comes to the house of mercy, and it is this pool, Bethesda, which is surrounded by the disabled. Porches so that they could lay in the shade, the disabled, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. Hardly a display of mercy and light. A display of despair and darkness. And up walks Jesus. Why is Jesus coming here? What does Jesus have to do in the house of mercy? Jesus comes to expose darkness and to shine light. And the light shines brightly in the darkness. Amen? Perhaps you have observed the light of Christ in your life. And when you're at your darkest time, it is then that the light of Christ shines brightly. Amen? Amen? Jesus' previous visit to Jerusalem was at Passover. He made a whip of cords, our loving Lord. That might not be in your definition of loving, made a whip of cords and cleared the temple courts of those who were selling doves and sheep and cows and changing money. Said, "You have turned my father's house into a den of thieves." Got a little bit of notoriety, I would imagine. Amen? Shining the light in the darkness. He performed many miracles. And there were many who believed, and all this notoriety, all this shining of the light got him into an argument with Nicodemus, who was discussing the finer points of the light. Got into an argument about truth. He comes to this man, 38 years, an invalid. Perhaps coming to the worst place in Jerusalem. Perhaps coming to the worst person at the worst place, an invalid for 38 years, and says, "Do you want to get well?" And you would think, what a stupid question. Why even ask? Because there are those who have given up. You are probably surrounded by people who no longer want to get well. They just want to stop the pain. Amen? You want to get well? Do you want to be made whole? Jesus offers change. Come here today. Do you want to be made whole? There is opportunity to move from darkness to light. Let's continue on. "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool. When the water is stirred, there, tradition, there's actually a verse that's pulled out of this version because it's tradition that was added in, said that there's an angel that stirs the water and the first person that gets in gets healed. Being that there was such a group of paralyzed, lame, and disabled, I got to imagine that either it didn't get stirred very much, or maybe every time it got stirred, not everybody got healed. Well, I'm trying to get in. Someone else gets in ahead of me. Then I lose my opportunity. Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he walked. You see, this guy really did want to change. This guy had not given up. You can have a paralysis of body, and you can have a paralysis of soul. And the man's soul was still engaged, and he was still trying to get in. I missed it again. I hope you're still trying. If you've given up trying, you can start trying again today, because the Lord comes into this place and offers the opportunity to come out of darkness and move into light. Amen? Maybe you've been in the light for a little while, and you're going, whoo, this is hard. Getting a tan, there's so much light. Oh, yeah, you can get sunburned. But you never get burned by the sun. Amen? People can come up with excuses. Yeah, I'll never get well. Come up with excuses for laying in the darkness. Come up with excuses for getting a prescription for medical marijuana. Nah, I'm just laying here getting stoned all day, but I got a prescription. Pick up your mat. Walk. 38 years. Being an invalid. You ready to stop? Or are you grown used to it? You ready to change? Jesus gave him the opportunity, and he took it. You bet I'm ready for change. How about you? You ready for change? Heard from a man yesterday. Roki, come on up here. Turn this on for me, Mike. Leading our Celebrate Recovery ministry. Spoke yesterday at the men's breakfast. Man, if you missed it, you missed it. Pastor Carlos made some serious Denver omelets. And this man shared about the change that the Lord has brought in his life. And it's kind of get right to the point. You had come, lived. How old were you when you got saved, bro, or when you made the change?
I was 29 years old.
Me too.
I was 29.
28 years here, an invalid. And you had struggled with commitment your whole life, seen failure over and over and over again, and the Lord speaks to your heart and says, pick up your mat and walk, says it's time to make a change. How did that work for you, bro?
Yeah, as Pastor Bob mentioned, it's tough for me, especially because of my past. I've never seen commitment in my father and mother. And because of the lack of that, I didn't know how to live it. And when I got married to Julie, my wonderful wife, I struggled. Even coming to the church, I struggled. I was on the worship team. I was doing the soundboard. I was doing a lot of things that I struggled with the word commit. Pastor Bob would preach, and in the middle of the sermon, I'd take off and leave and go home. I'd quit. I never completed the commitment process. But God, after a while, says, Roki, you need to commit to me. I was like, Lord, I don't know how. So what I did was I looked up the word commit in the Bible. I went through every single one. And there was like three or four of them that touched me. And I said, it's time to make the change. Not just for myself, but for him and for everybody else around me. Because what you commit to, it could be either good or bad. And I'm leaning towards the good. If you lean to the bad, it's going to mess up not just yourself. It's going to mess up your family. It's going to mess up your work. It's going to mess up everything, and especially your relationship with God. And when in transitioning, I really had to say, Lord, I got to give this to you because I can't do it on my own. It's only through you that I can actually commit to anything, because without you, I'm nothing. So that's what I did.
So it's easy now.
It's easier now. I mean, there are some times where I want to try to lean it off to somebody, and God would. I'll just mention it quickly. I didn't want to speak on Saturday. I asked Pastor Paul in advance if he could do it, and he graciously said no.
So it was like, no.
So God says, don't be trying to get out of this, Roki. I want you to do it. And I need to just say yes instead of trying to get away. Yes. So when God speaks to you, you need to say yes. Because if you don't, you're going to fall. And it may take you a long time to get back where you left off. It used to take me 3 to 6 months to get back to where I was. And trust me, it's a lot of work trying to get back. Just stay on track. Stay on track. When you're having issues, commit to him first. Commit to him first.
I was being facetious when I said it was easy. Keep on.
I thought I was done.
Yeah, I know. But it actually, the stuff that you're doing now, how much harder is it than the first challenges of commitment that you made several years ago?
It's not as hard now.
But the challenges, to run, celebrate, recover, to get out there and speak, are giant compared to.
Yes, it is. It's very challenging. And without him, without you guys, I wouldn't even be here today.
Amen. A little round of applause. Amen, amen. Where are we at? Okay, here we go. Point number two. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It's a Sabbath, and the law forbids you to carry your mat." See, now, this is close. The mat that he had, you know, even in the Greek it says pallet. But this is what I came up with today. I think it's much more tidy. Could you think of carrying a futon around? I think that might be getting a little bit closer. You know, actually, maybe I should be less tidy here and open this thing up just so that it looks like more. Yeah. So he's walking along carrying his mat, healed. Now I got saved when I was 29. Roki was 28. Did I say 29? Oh, yeah, 29. This guy was 28 years an invalid. Maybe he wasn't an invalid his whole life. Can you imagine the transformation this guy felt? Peter and John had a lame guy by the gate, beautiful, get up and walk. Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. And man, he's dancing and just praising God. This guy's walking around in Jerusalem, maybe in the temple. It's Passover time, or it's feast time. There's a bunch of people all over the place. What are you doing? Dude, I'm healed, man. What are you doing with that mat? Put that thing down. He said, "Lord forbids you to carry your mat." But he said, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" And so they asked him, "Who is this guy? Who told you to pick up your mat and walk?" And the man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Your healing happened on the Sabbath. Just stop that. They were honoring the fourth commandment. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. What are you doing? It says, 6 days you shall labor. You'll do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath. It's Saturday, by the way. Sabbath to the Lord. Nimoy would have known that. Oh, I can't do that. The seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your maidservant, nor your animal, nor your alien within your gates. You know what? It doesn't say mat in there anywhere. You know, and some people be all wound up on the little stuff. Amen? Some people start going off on their own track, make a big old giant thing out of a mat. Some people even name their kids Matt. Little joke. Yeah, you'll get that one later. Listen to it on the tape. Jesus says, man, you guys are running your own route. Light of heaven comes and will expose the error of your ways. What are you going to do with that? Now, the Jews are completely genuine in their problem with the mat. They are trying to love God just as much as they can. They are saying, hey, if we don't do this, we're going to be lined up on the Word of God. We're going to find that fullness. And you know what? That in itself is good. You've got a direction in your life that you believe you are just honoring the Lord. Follow that. But when the Holy Spirit comes and says to you, you got to go a different direction, you got to make a choice. You're either going to choose to continue in your current direction, or you're going to be guided by God in a new direction. And sometimes we can just love our own stuff, even if it is a little bit dark, even if it is the wrong way. Real question becomes, what do you do with truth? What do you do with light? The guy who healed me told me to do this. Well, where is this guy? You begin to follow God, you're going to run into some challenges. Have you found that to be true? Amen. Light came into the world, but men loved darkness instead. Keep going here. There are some just going to say no. You got the people like that around you? No, 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 no. That's not how we roll here. You got people like that? Talking about you, laughing about you and the Lord. Oh, yeah. It's how long this fad, this little phase is going to go on with you. Had that, this phase been going about 25 years for me now. Later, Jesus found him at the temple. You know, he found him. That means he was looking. You might, if you got your Bible, you could just put Jesus was looking right there. See, you are well again. Greek says, see, you are whole. Stop sinning. Or something worse may happen to you. Looking at the Lord Jesus Christ straight in the face, man who healed you. And he runs away to the Jews and says it was that guy. Jesus shines a light on the guy who was healed by the pool, 38 years an invalid, said, stop sinning. Now, my question is, what's the sin? Now, probably didn't have the mat on him. Where's the mat, son? Me and you had a little deal. Pick up your mat and walk. Where's the mat? I don't know if that's what it is. John chapter 3, verse 21. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so it may be seen plainly that what is going on has been done by God. He is walking through Jerusalem on the Sabbath with a mat under his arm, and everybody's going, what are you doing? And he says, I have been healed. The light has come into my life. That is on display. Can I get a witness on that? I think Jesus was looking for a display that day. John also tells us, if you say you're without sin, you're lying. Jesus paying attention. Jesus looking. Light and dark. You're going to have to make a choice. He ran away to the Jews. Now, I don't know of anybody who's going to interpret John chapter 5 or the whole Gospel of John and find that the Jews are a source of light. Can I get a witness on that? And so here is this guy who is being confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ, says, you better stop sinning. And his immediate response is to run to the Jews. See, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead because their acts were evil. What do you do when the light shines on you? Because you are going to stay in the darkness, stay in the light, or move one way or the other. My mom was in town this week, and we went out to dinner on Tuesday night, and she and her husband came, and we went in Lisa's car. And we were driving down 163, on the freeway, at freeway speeds. And I was coming up to Friars Road. We're going to exit on Friars Road. And I hit the brakes, and Lisa's whole car began to vibrate and shudder and shake. Now, you can drive that car 40 miles an hour. No big deal. But you're doing 70 miles an hour, and you hit those brakes, and all of a sudden, the whole thing just starts going. The problem with the rear rotors. I got to fix them. See, you go rolling down your line, you're going to run into things that you've got to fix unless you just want to drive slow. You want to drive slow? You're going to fix those brakes. Just don't get on the freeway. You're going down your life. Jesus shines his light on you. You got to fix something. Or you can just kind of shift over into the darkness. See, it ain't so noticeable over here. I think I could get by. If you're here this morning, light of the gospel shines on you. You got to choose darkness or light. Amen? Last point. The truth is often a challenge because none of us are truly walking in truth. John says, you think you're without sin, you're lying. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, verse 8, verse 9. He's faithful and just. You confess that sin, he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's a good word. Amen? John chapter 5, verses 6 through 18. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Not the acts of somebody who loves the light. Not the acts of somebody who loves the Lord. Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. And they said, oh man, we have fallen so short of the glory of God. Let us kneel and be forgiven and step into the light. No, they said, let's kill this guy. And they walked into the darkness where their actions would not be revealed for what they were. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. The truth is a challenge, folks. The truth challenges us to make changes. Roki spoke of the challenge of truth in his life as his life was a continual display of error, of darkness, of death. God said, are you ready to move from darkness into light? Amen? Now, he's doing incredibly greater things, more massive things for the Lord now than he started off with. And you give him 5 years, he's going to be doing even greater things. Amen? Jews are coming after the Lord. They want to close down the light. They want to get back to where it's dim. Their deeds are evil. They don't want to be exposed. And I'm telling you, you got some bad stuff going on in your life. Pastor Scott talked about it, says, I'm the worst one here because I know what's going on inside me. And when the light comes, you can be exposed, you can own it, and you can move out of it, and you get a little bit lighter. Amen? Every day, transformation, every day, getting better. Jews wanted to kill Jesus. Came unto his own, but his own received him not. How different from the Samaritans. Samaritan woman says, yeah, you know, we worship on this mountain and you Jews worship on in Jerusalem. We don't know what to do. And he says, you guys are all wrong. There's a time that's coming when true worshipers are going to worship in spirit and in truth. And she says, how can I do that? How can I move further into the light? Says, Messiah is going to show us. Jesus says, I'm the one. And she runs into town and brings the whole town out. They said, Jesus, you got to hang out here for a couple of days. You got to show us the light. How different from the Jews. Kill this guy. Get him the heck out of Jerusalem. It's feast time. We're getting paid. We're having a good time and we don't need any lights getting in our way. Jesus says, you got the whole picture of God wrong. You're so far off track. Now you can move into truth or you can embrace your lie. But today you'll choose light or darkness. He continues on. It's uphill, folks. Amen? Jesus gave him this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they... I mean, they are getting ready to kill this guy. He is so in your face. And sometimes the truth of God is just in your face. The more obstinate you are, I know the way. Jesus is paying attention. Jesus will find you. Jesus will tell you and say, you're going to choose today. Choose to serve me or choose to serve yourself. Joshua came to the Israelites. Choose this day who you will serve. For me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. Please choose life. Choose life. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Jesus says, I'm just doing what my dad does. And then he says, you're going to follow me? That's what you'll do too. John chapter 14, verse 12. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. He will come out of a broken family whose father cannot make any commitment in his life, and he will become a root of commitment that his children will know commitment, that he will lead men into commitment, that he would lead men out of pain and despair in their lives. Greater things. You got to choose. When the light shines on you, what are you going to do? Because you can move into the light today. Today you can find the light a little too much. You can say, you know, I kind of like it over here. Oh, yeah. Much easier to get along. That light can be a challenge, folks. But you come in, your life will be exposed. Stay in the light, you got to change. You got to change every day. You got to grab on to change, and the Lord will show you a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. And it'll get challenging, and it'll be getting good. And you will have up a sign that says, what has been done in me is done because God is here. Sam, you come up and play. Lord, I come to you this morning. Lord, there are some people that are here that have been invalids for years and years and years. Lord, their best friend is their mat carried around. And Lord says you can be set free today. Lord says I'm paying attention. Eternal life is what is on the line. You can move from death to life. You can move from a natural life to an eternal life. It's a challenge, but it's worth the challenge. Lord, as we sit here this morning, knowing that you are mighty and awesome, knowing that you died on the cross, Lord, to save a wretch like me, Lord, to transform Roki's life, to be a savior, to be a deliverer, Lord. And you come into this service this morning and you ask the lame and the paralyzed, do you want to get well? And I hope your answer is, no, I can't get well, Lord. Too tough for me. He says, you can pick up your mat. In my power, I'm giving you an opportunity of new life right now. You don't have to die anymore. But you do have to step out of the darkness. You got to see what you're doing is offensive to me. We're going to start working on some change immediately. But right now, you just got to know whether or not you want to get well or not. You got to know if you've got a broken soul and you've given up and you just want to lay there in the dark the rest of your days. Lord, this morning I pray you would come to bring a message of life and shine light in the dark spot. And this morning, Lord, that person who's living in despair with no hope and no the ability to come and to walk. And nobody looking around right now, but that is you this morning. The Lord is saying, pick up your mat. I am asking you this morning, just in the name of Jesus, that you would just look to heaven and say, here I am, Lord. I've been crypt up so long. I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you to bring life into my death. Shine your light on me, Lord. I don't want to be like this anymore. And nobody looking around, that's you this morning. And the Lord is just speaking to you. Just wants you to just slide your hand up and say, here I am, Lord. I'm ready to walk. Ready to run, Lord. Back here, anybody else would say, that's me. Here, here. Anybody else? Here. Praise the Lord. Put your hands down. You're crypt up. You're in the dark. You're going, I can't do it. And the Lord is saying, don't stay in the dark. You're speaking right to your heart. You didn't respond earlier. Right now you're feeling like your whole body is on fire. And he's saying, this is for you. Get out of the darkness. Time to get up and walk. Did not put your hand up earlier, and the Lord's just all over you. Just slide your hand up and say, that's me. Here, anybody else? Anybody else? Right there, I see your hand. Whew. Whew. Lord, I pray. Lord, as you raise Lazarus from the dead, Lord, as you cause the blind to see, as you cleanse the lepers, Lord, as you set the lame to dancing, Lord. Lord, that these that are here this morning, Lord, step out of the darkness into the light. Begin to embrace you. Be like that Samaritan. Be like that Samaritan. Be like that Samaritan. Be like that Samaritan. Be like that Samaritan.